different church, a little different there, but exactly how we present it might be different, but the actual nugget would probably be very similar. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read a couple of sections in here. We're going to start in verse 4 to 7, and then skip to 14 to 26. This is Paul speaking, and he's talking about the church. Again, as Caleb showed us, the church is not the building, right? The church is the people of God. This is what he says. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We're going to skip for a minute to verse 14. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Just pause for a second. So Paul is using this analogy. He's saying as the church, obviously not the building, the people, as the church, we have been given different passions, skills, gifts, personalities. We are different people, all because God has given us different things to be used for the church. He then goes on and he's going to talk about the body. And he's not talking about a physical body. He's using that as an analogy, but that we are the body of Christ. So think about this analogy as he talks about it. He says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many, in the same way the church is made up of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, well, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. That's silly, right? If the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. He continues, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, well, we treat those with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While the presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. You know that by hitting your thumb with a hammer, right? It just hurts everywhere. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Let's pray once more. Father God, I just pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear from you, that anything that's simply from me would go right over our heads, but that your word and your truth would remain. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever known someone who is an armchair quarterback? You know, the person that sits in their lazy boy watching the game and judging all of the plays that happen, all the plays that the coach runs, they could have run them better, right? All in the luxury of not having to do any of the work. It's a phenomenon in culture where people can easily look at someone else, and what they are doing and think they could do better, all while not needing to do anything. It's a nice position to be in judging others while sitting in the comfort of your recliners. College football Hall of Fame coach Bud Wilkinson, he popularized a description of the spectator sport of American football, and he said this, it is 22 boys 22 boys on the field badly in need of a rest, being watched by 44,000 people in the stands badly in need of exercise. The local church can sometimes be described in this way as well. A handful of people frantically running around while the vast majority sit in the stands and watch. Now, in many ways, that is not the case here at Discovery. There are many people here who are very active in their faith and serving in the church, especially pre-COVID. But there's a lot of us who've been having trouble figuring out, well, what's my role now in the midst of COVID? And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. The fact is that each of us needs to ask a question. And we need to ask the question to ourselves, not to the person beside us, just to ourselves. If I'm part of the body of Christ, what the Bible says you are, how can I ensure that I'm doing my best to work with the rest of the body? Let me say that again. If I am part of the body of Christ, how do I make sure that I am working the best that I can with the rest of the parts of the body? How many of you have ever gone to a physiotherapist before? I went a while back. I hurt my one shoulder, total kind of fluke. It was kind of like I was a swimmer, and I was just overexerted, and I tore some things in my shoulder. I was working on that in physiotherapy, and then back in Ontario, I went tobogganing with my kids, and I fell off the toboggan and I hurt my other shoulder. And Heather said, no more tobogganing for you. So we moved to BC. But I went to physiotherapy. And did you know that physiotherapy is very different than going to a gym? Right? When you go to a gym, and I haven't been to a gym in a very long time, as you probably can tell. When you go to a gym, at least when I went to a gym, you work on the big muscles. A friend of mine coined them the date muscles. They're the muscles that you want to work so that you look like you're in shape, right? Like the biceps and the triceps and the deltoids and the other oids. But when you go to a physiotherapist, they usually don't look at the big muscles. They look at the small muscles. So, for example, while I could be going to the gym, and I don't right now, I'm not even going to pretend, but I could be working on my large shoulder muscles, my deltoids, I think that's a right? But my teres minor, the small muscles in your shoulder, could be really weak. So what the physiotherapist would do is that they would give you exercises to build up the smaller muscles. Because if you have your big muscles are strong, but your small muscles are weak, then your body's not going to function well. In the same way, in the church, we cannot be healthy. We cannot be a healthy body unless all of the muscles and tendons and ligaments in the church are functioning to the best of their ability. If we are not functioning the best that we can be in Christ, then the body is going to suffer. Now listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, according to this passage, Pastor Dave and myself, amongst many others, our job is to equip all of us for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Another way of saying that is that our job, our role, is to help you be the best you in Christ that you can be. And we believe wholeheartedly that that only can happen when each and every one of us is submitted to Jesus Christ and is asking him, what is it that you have me to do? And so we're going to be asking those questions today. So this is an all hands on deck kind of a message. If you came here today hoping to be a casual Christian, you're not going to like this message. If you are wanting to be complacent in your faith life, you're not going to like this message. If you're happy to be an armchair Christian, you're not going to like this message. And further, I must tell you that Discovery Community Church probably won't be a good fit for you. The reason for that is that our mission, which we talked about a number of weeks ago, loving God, loving people, following Jesus, and helping people to follow Jesus, all framed in by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a very active mission. We cannot love God and love people, follow Jesus and help people to follow Jesus by sitting back and waiting for someone else to do it. It's an all hands on deck mission. And so we all need our big muscle groups and our small muscle groups of the body of Christ to be in good condition so that we can work for his kingdom. And so with that in mind, I want to look at three of our value statements and give you three challenges out of them. The first value statement that we're looking at is this. It says, we will equip and empower all people to follow Jesus. There's tons of stuff in there. We're not going to get into it all. But the idea behind this is that we want to create simple and attainable discipleship pathways, ministry opportunities, and leadership development so that the entire body of Christ can be glorified. In short, it means that we want to give you whatever you need to be the best you for Christ that you can be. And we are going to work hard to do that. But the challenge that I want to give you is this. This season, this ministry season, this season of your life, whatever you want to think about it as, this season, I want to challenge each and every one of you to grow in one way. To grow in one way. To ask God, what is one area of my life that I need to grow in? Again, if we look back at Ephesians chapter 4, we heard that first part. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. It continues though. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so, what is an area in your life that God is wanting to grow in? Many of you, here are just some thoughts. Many of you did the New Testament challenge last year, where we read through the entire New Testament in 6 months. Some of you didn't complete it. Maybe that's an area that you need to grow in saying, okay, God, I want to be more in your word. I don't want my Bible to be on a shelf collecting dust. I need your word in my life. If you don't know where your Bible is, there's a good that's a good indication that this might be where you need to grow in. And if you want, I can definitely send you the New Testament challenge again, and you can start it over again. Maybe the area that you need to grow in is prayer, that God is wanting you to be talking to him, but also listening to him in prayer. Maybe the area you need to grow in is generosity. I'm not just talking about your wallet, but just a heart of generosity, where you're generous with your time and with your money and with who you are, and allowing people to be in your life. Maybe the area you need to grow in is in your quiet times, where you need to say, okay, I actually need to get into a routine where I'm taking time with God every day. Because I know that when I take time with God, my day just works so much better. And when I get out of habit, when I get out of that routine, I go through the day and I realize that God was an afterthought, maybe not a thought at all. So that's maybe something that I need to get into. Maybe you need to join a life group. A bunch of our life groups are starting up this fall, and there's room in some of them, and we would love for you to get involved. And that would just be a great group to have some accountability, to be able to encourage each other and support each other as you grow in Christ. Maybe it's something completely different. I didn't think about it, but God is right now putting it on your heart, and that's great. Don't ignore that. Don't ignore that voice. Allow him to speak into your life. What is one area that he wants you to grow in? Value number two that we're going to look at today. We believe that everyone, here at Discovery, we believe that everyone has something to give. God has given each person personality, passions, and talents to be used for his glory. And so because of that, we are going to foster a culture that values contributors, not consumers. We're going to foster a culture that values contributors, not consumers. So here's my challenge. Not only is what is one way that you can grow, but how can you serve in one way? How can you serve in one way? There's an account in the Bible where Jesus is, I think he's going between places, and you know, he has these 12 disciples, and two of them kind of come up to him and say, "Hey, Jesus, we want you to do something for us." This is what it says. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and they said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." How gutsy is that to come to Jesus and say, "Hey, we want to ask you a favor and we want your answer to be yes." Isn't that an interesting way to start the conversation? So Jesus says, "Well, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you?" And they reply, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at the left in your glory." Then they have a conversation. He says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered, not knowing what they're talking about. And Jesus says to them, "Well, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with." In other words, you are going to suffer in the same way that I'm going to suffer. Isn't that what you wanted? No, probably not. "But to sit at my right and my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10, the other disciples, heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Why? Because James and John had beat them to the punch. They wanted those places of honor. They wanted to ask for that privilege and comfort and power. And so they were mad that James and John had beat them to the punch. My guess is, at least. But Jesus called them all together and he said this, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you," listen, "whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served." Listen to this. "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Friends, we are called to be a church family. We are called to be contributors, not consumers. And I need to tell you that the scariest thing that I see in our world today, it's not the secularization of our world. It's not other religions gaining power. It is the Church of Jesus Christ becoming consumers. And I think this is the most dangerous thing that could ever happen to the church in North America. And I believe it is a lie from the devil himself. How do you get the church to stop being the church? You make them consumers. You make them people who are more interested in the comfort of the pews, in the type of coffee that the church serves, in the skinniness of the jeans of the pastor. I'm so glad that you're all at Discovery, because none of those really work here. But we're not called to be consumers. We're called to be contributors. And as soon as the church becomes consumers, we stop being the church. And the devil wins. And we know that he doesn't win. And this is not from God at all. This is just Brian's logic. But if I was God and I started seeing the church of Jesus Christ becoming consumers, you know what I might do? I might send a plague that would stop the church from being consumers. Might call it COVID. I don't know. It's interesting. So I have preached for like years now. I've preached for years. The church is not the building. The church is not the building. The church is the people. And God is calling my bluff. And I've had to figure out, okay, right, Brian, do I actually believe it? And I've come to the realization that I do. The church is the people of God. And so when Heather and I talk and we talk about, okay, what is church going to look like for us? We talk about, okay, how do we be the body of Christ in the COVID times? How do we serve one another well in the COVID times? And it's hard, because some of the ways that we used to serve aren't possibilities right now. We don't have our Sunday school up and running, so you can't be a Sunday school teacher. We don't have our nursery up and running, so you can't help out in nursery. We don't have our shared meals together, so you can't help out in the kitchen. Some of these roles aren't happening anymore, at least not right now. And so we have to figure out, how do I still be the church? How do I serve other people in this time of COVID? And I believe there are lots of opportunities for that. Let me just give you a couple ideas right now. Hopefully in October, we're going to have one of our gospel nights. And so some of the leaders of the gospel nights are getting that figured out. But we need volunteers for that. Now, if you don't know, the gospel nights is a wonderful opportunity for people to come and to sing gospel music and hymns. And it's open to all people. Frankly, there's a certain demographic of people, and they're usually closer to being retirees or seniors, who come to that. But we need volunteers to help serve in that way. Wouldn't it be amazing if some of our younger generations said, hey, you know what? That's not my style of music, but I love the people so much that I'm going to come and serve. Not because I want to get something out of it, but because I love the people who love worshiping God that way. Can I just be really candid with you? A lot of the music that's played at the gospel nights is not the kind of music that I listen to on the radio. Like, the gospel nights is not focused on Brian. But if you remember a few weeks ago, that's not actually an okay thing. Because if the church was all looked like me, I might be comfortable, but it wouldn't be good. So we have this wonderful thing with gospel nights. And we need people who are greeting at the doors and who are helping with sound and with tech and helping to set up and welcome people and helping to tear down. And we need some help with that. But wouldn't it be amazing if it wasn't the people who also got something from that, but the people who said, hey, this isn't my style, but I'm going to come and serve because I love the people who love worshiping this way. Isn't that amazing? Let me ask you a question. How can you serve at home? Many of you are at home. You're not going out very much. How do you serve at home? There's lots of ways, but we have to become creative with it, right? We have to be creative and say, okay, God, how do you use me in this time? Maybe it's picking up a phone, calling some people. Maybe you're a prayer warrior and you're just going to start praying for the people in our church. If that's you, give me a call and I will give you a list of people that you can be praying for, and we'll see what God does in that. Isn't that amazing? Maybe your gift is baking cookies and dropping them off at people's houses, doing kind of a cookie knocking nine door. What was those things called? You know, when you knock on the door, put some cookies down, and you run. When you were a teenager, it was a bag of poo, right? No. This is like good stuff that you're going to leave here. Maybe we can do that. How do we serve the people not only in our church but also in our community? There are lots of ways that we can do it, but we have to become creative in it. And I'm not going to give you, hey, Ken, this is how you need to serve, because I don't know exactly what your skills and gifts are, but God has just filled you chock full of them. So here's my question. How can you serve in one way? What can become your ministry in this time of COVID? And I'm getting goosebumps right now because I'm picturing everyone who's part of Discovery Community Church taking up this challenge and rising to the occasion saying, okay, God, how am I going to serve? And everybody being served because of it. Wouldn't that be amazing? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. God's given you a gift. He's given you talents. He's given you passions. Don't just let them stay on the shelf. They were meant to be used. And so grow in one way. Serve in one way. Last challenge here. Walk with one person. Walk with one person. Let me ask you a question. Parents, how many of you would want someone to be speaking into your child or your grandchild's life right now for Christ? How many of you would say, yeah, you know what? I want that. I want someone other than me because I am already speaking into my kids' lives. How many of you would say, yeah, you know what? I would love for someone else to come and just walk alongside my child or my grandchild and tell them about Jesus and love on them and encourage them? Tons of people. Let me ask you this question. How many of you can remember some of the people who spoke into your life and they weren't the pastor, they weren't the youth pastor, they were just someone who loved you, took you under their wing, and shared Jesus with you? Yeah, lots of people. This is where we get to that third value. We will be generous with what we value because we value Christ even more. Let me say that again. We will be generous with what we value because we value Christ even more. As Christians here at Discovery Community Church, we see ourselves as stewards of God's finances, as God's property, of God's time, and of God's people. And so we will hold all of this open with generous hands so that we are quick to figure out the leading of a generous God. And yes, we sure could have talked about finances when we talk about this value, but I want to talk about time in that because it's probably as valuable or more valuable to most of you than what's in your wallets. Can you walk with someone? Can you invest in someone? Encouraging them, calling them once a week, saying, hey, how are you doing? How can I pray with you? And actually praying with them. You don't even have to be face-to-face. I'm sure it could become something a little bit more formal. You can do a Bible study together, whatever. But you could just take someone fishing. You could just go to the grocery store with someone, or you can just call them on the phone. But can you walk with someone? Investing in them, sharing Christ with them, loving them, praying with them. And I need to tell you, if you're a Christ follower here today, you can do that, and you should do that. This is what the whole helping others follow Jesus is about. You don't have to disciple the entire of Campbell River, but if you start discipling one person, if you start building into one person, it's amazing what that will do. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, as just in fact you are doing now. So let me leave you with those three challenges. What is one way that God is asking you to grow in this season? What is one way that God is asking you to serve in this season? What is one person that God is asking you to walk with in this season? And before the worship team comes back up, let me just invite you right now just to think about, what would that look like? What would it look like if each one of us took up those three challenges? They're not difficult. One way to grow, one way to serve, one person to walk with. Would our church be transformed? Again, church isn't a building, it's the people. Yeah, it sure would. Would there be a ripple effect here in Campbell River? Yeah, there definitely would be. Grow in one way, serve in one way, walk with one person. You want to do more than that? Great, fine. But let's do that, friends. Let's pray together and just ask God to help us in that. Father God, Lord, already I know that there's pushback from these three things because they invade our space. They invade our comfort. And yet, Lord, you are a God who just keeps invading our space because you don't want it to be our space. You want it to be your space. Lord, you don't want us to be Lord of our lives. You want you to be Lord of our lives. And so, Father, right now we just ask that you would show us, reveal to us one way that you want us to grow. That you would show us one way that we can serve in Jesus' name, and one way, one person that we can walk with. And Father, in all these things, we know that you, through your Holy Spirit, will give us what we need to accomplish these things when our hearts are focused on you. So help us, Lord, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.